Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. I don't know about you, but I found that God hears and listens to our prayers. And when you pray with much prayer, there is much power. And with little prayer, there's little power. But we know that God wants to give us power today. So let's pray to him earnestly and fervently, believing that he will answer in his own way. Gracious God, you who are the creator and our sustainer, we're just thankful that you allowed us to be here this day, that you allowed us to come into this, your sanctuary, and to worship you and to serve you. Lord, we come here with expectancy that we, as we seek to draw closer to you, you will draw closer to us. And we will feel the power of your presence and the power of your love, even as we lift you up. Lord, we thank you for the joys that we heard mentioned today, for a new birth, for one who is a little one who has attained a new birthday. We thank you for healing that we heard about. And we pray your healing mercies and graces upon those who still stand in the need of your healing. We know that you are a good God and a powerful healer. So we lift those names up and pray that you will do what only you can do. And we will continue to give you thanks and glory for that. Lord, we pray your blessings upon Pastor Willis. Pray that you will be with him as he travels. And pray that you will continue to give him wisdom and understanding that he might lead this great congregation as you want it led, to the heights that you want it to go to. Lord, we thank you for 102 years that you allowed this congregation to exist and to minister for you. And we know that you have not brought them this far to lead them, but you will carry them on that they might do what you want done, and they might lift up the bloodstained banner and shine the light of your glory throughout this city and even out throughout this world. God, we pray for the leaders of the countries of this world. We will pray for the leaders of our country. Pray, God, that they will be guided by your Holy Spirit, that they might do that which you want done. They might lead your people in the way that you want them led, that they might lead in such a way that they might bring peace and joy and happiness to all that live and have their being here. God, you know there's so many things that we going on now that we don't understand, but we know one who has the power to right wrongs and to bring peace and joy and happiness. So God, we ask that you just do what only you can do. And we pray, Father, that you will give the joy. Let us experience the joy of your salvation in this worship service, that we might leave this place better than we came in. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
A word of God from the people, for the people of God, from Revelation 3:19 through 22. It's on page 997 of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Well, good morning, Miriam. It's good to be here in your city. And as I tell folks now, as I get younger and younger, it's just good to be. I bring you greetings from Light of the World Christian Church in Indianapolis, where the pastor is the Reverend Dr. David A. Hampton. And I bring you greetings from the National Convocation of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, which has been meeting here in Overland Park, for the last 4 or 5 days. And they're actually, like we said, we're closing out now, even as we are in worship. I bring greetings from them and the administrative secretary and associate general minister of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Timothy James, and the president of the National Convocation, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Jr., another Jesse Jackson. And I want to thank your pastor and the officers who have allowed us to be here and share in this worship today. Now, I sent that resume. I only wanted the pastor and the officers to know a little bit about the person who they were inviting. I didn't intend for it to be read here, but he did an excellent job. I am reminded of a young man who had graduated from seminary, and he had his credentials, and he was called to this church, and one of the sweet younger elders of the church saw that he had all these degrees and accolades and looked at it and said, well, he looks good on paper. Now let's see what he can do. Look good on paper, and I hope God does, well, I hope to do what God wants done today. That's all I can do the best I can. I just want to read a portion of that 51st Psalm from the New King James Version, which is the one that I have been looking at. Just verses 5 and 6. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to be known, to know wisdom. Pray God's blessing upon his word. This is the word of God for God's people. Would you pray with me for a moment? Gracious Lord, we just thank you again for allowing us to be in this worship service. And I thank you, Father, for allowing myself and my wife and a portion of our family to be here today in this great church. And God, I thank you as always for another opportunity to stand behind your sacred desk. And I pray, God, as always, that if there's anything within me that would keep you from speaking to these, your people, that you would cast it out and speak a word to us. For God, in times like these, we need to hear from you. And we need to be reassured that you are that same God that created the heavens and the earth, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead, the same God that promised that you would be with us always, and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 7 o'clock p.m. on the evening of August the 1st, 2013. I awoke on a surgical gurney with friends and family looking down at me and rejoicing. I had just been through a 2-hour surgical procedure that lasted 5.5 hours. I awoke expecting to have 4 little surgical places that were, they had gone in with a scope. Instead, I had a scar a foot long with numbers of staples and a colostomy bag hanging on my side. But they were standing there rejoicing. And I looked up and said, hallelujah, that I woke up. My friend, the Reverend Dr. John Folks, looked down at me and said, I have the sermon for you. He would not have gone in if he had known. He was recalling the experience of a relative of his who had suffered from the same condition that I had suffered from. 2 months prior, I had been diagnosed with colorectal cancer. Now, you got to recognize, this is a person that had never been in a hospital. I wasn't even born in a hospital. For 7 years, I had never been in a hospital. But diagnosed with cancer and being told that by my doctor, who was very conscientious and thorough, saying that, well, you know, we're going to attack this thing with all our weapons. You're going to have surgery, you're going to have radiation, and you're going to have chemotherapy. And the surgery was the first thing. Well, the friend of Dr. Folks, like I said, he had that same condition. But when they examined him, the doctor decided that his tumor was too large that he could not go in and remove it. But all praises be to God, my surgeon did not know how large my tumor was when he opened me up. It had grown considerably since the first examination he had done on me. It was like almost a month prior. And that tumor had got aggressive. When he first examined me, I weighed 160 pounds. By the time I got to surgery, I weighed 140 pounds. I was losing about 5 pounds a week. But, like I said, all praises be to God. When he did begin the surgery, he found out how large that tumor was, but he was able to remove it. He was able to remove it, and he was able to determine that the cancer had not spread and it not even in any of my lymph nodes. For that, I thank God. If he had known how large that tumor was, he may not have gone in, and I would not be standing here before you today. Later on, I was looking at a movie, and the movie depicted the birth of a baby. And the doctor, you know how they are in the movies, the doctor spanks the baby and the baby cries. You hear that first sound of new life. I began to reflect on the mystery of birth and life itself. How amazing it is to see a newborn baby and to hear that first cry. I'm one of those folks that I don't mind hearing babies cry because it's a sound of life, and you know that the baby is strengthening their lungs so that one day they might become a preacher too. As I was looking at that movie and seeing the birth of a new baby, Psalm 51:5 popped into my psyche. Psalmist writes, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin, my mother conceived me." Frankly, I want to admit to you, throughout the years, this passage has caused me some concern, give me pause for thought. And it's one that, even though it fascinated me, I never have an opportunity to really think about it, meditate on, or to preach about it. And I began to believe that this was my opportunity. It gave me, it's confusing to me in some ways, because you, when you listen to it, you think about it. And think about this God that we serve. Now, most commentators talk about the fact that this is a psalm of penitence. And it is. We know it is one that David is reflecting upon the sins of his life and how he has failed the God that he loved. The word tells us that David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he had done something that was diabolically opposed to the precepts that he knew this great God fostered. Think about it. Here we know, I believe, that our God is a loving God, a just God, a fair God. But how could this same God say that a newborn baby was a sinner? And the way that the scriptures, this verse is translated in the New Revised Standard Version, which we read earlier, which says, "Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me." It goes even farther, saying that when he was conceived, he was a sinner, condemned from conception. And somehow that just didn't sound fair to me, especially when you think that our God is a loving and gracious God. And then I began to think, is that the reality that many children born into this world, into war-torn countries like Afghanistan or Iraq or even Israel, is that the reality that they are born into? Can you imagine being born in a country where bombs and guns are the order of the day? I remember when our country began the war in Iraq and how they were bombing there daily. And I thought, wow, how would it be to wake up every day to the sounds of bombs? Even though they were our enemy and are our enemy, one would have to look even on our enemy with compassion, thinking that it's a terrible life to have to live like that. And even as I thought about this, I began to think, I said, well, I don't want to depress us. There are so many things going on in our world today that can be depressing. But trust me, I think we'll get to some joy in a little bit. Then I began to think, unfortunately, many of our neighborhoods in America are not too different. I don't know about what goes on around here. This is a nice, quiet community. But I know in Indianapolis, hardly a day goes by when we don't hear about three or four people getting shot, two or three being killed. And I think about how many of those little babies that are born there wake up to gunshots or go to bed with gunshots. There have been even young children killed in their houses by drive-by shooters who shoot through the walls. Certainly there is enough evil around in our world to give us all pause and concern. And I wonder, are there people who look back at their lives and say, if I had known, I would not have entered in. Has that kind of thought ever went through your mind? Ecclesiastes, the preacher, records, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of the oppressor there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, he who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Solomon, in all his wisdom, in all his grandeur, the one who had the good life and the best of everything, could write words like that, saying that he admired the dead and said even better than the dead would be those who were never born, those who had never entered into this life. Well, I submit to you that God knows how man can mess up the good life that he has created for us. David had messed up the good life. Maybe because God knows how we can mess up the good life, maybe that's why he doesn't give us a choice whether to be born or not. We don't have a choice. Maybe it's because God knew if we, some of us, knew what life had in store for us, we would opt out of being born. Then I began to think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He was born pretty much like all of us, except he was conceived in an immaculate conception by the Holy Spirit. But he was brought into the world through the normal process. Then I asked, did the midwife spank Jesus? Did Jesus cry like that baby in the movie? Then when I thought about it, I said, you know, he had every right to cry. He, unlike us, knew what was ahead of him when he was born. He knew that he was going to face ridicule, that he was going to be scorned, that he was going to be abused, and he knew that he was going to suffer death on a cross just for you and I. But you know what? Even though he knew, he came in anyway. Even though he knew what this world was going to put before him and put him through, he allowed himself to be born into mankind's mess. And that's good news to me. That is almost shouting news to me. That Jesus, even though he knew he was going to be born into the sinful world and to be the victim of man's sin, he came in anyway, just because he loved you and me. Now, I'm not that easy to love, but I know he loved me. He came in anyway. The Bible records Jesus crying when he looked over Jerusalem and lamented over the fact that they did not realize the source of their salvation, of their healing, and of their peace was near to them. And I wonder how many who are our contemporaries are going through some things and not enjoying life because they don't realize that the source of their healing, the source of their salvation, the source of their joy, the source of their peace is right at hand. And all they have to do is say, I accept you, and receive that peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus knows all about our situations, but he is willing to come in, to enter in and help us through them. My tumor may have been too large for the doctor, but it was not too large for Jesus. Conditions never get so bad that God cannot or will not come in and help us if we let him. That's good news. The word, the Bible is replete with examples of how God steps in to the mess of men and works a way out of it. In the beginning, there was the Israelites who were in bondage in Egypt. Song said they were in bondage so strong that it was hard to bear. But God stepped in anyway. Then we all like that story about those three Hebrew boys who were found in a fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the word lets us know that in the midst of the fire, God stepped in, for they said there was one like the Son of Man in the furnace with them, and no hair on their head was burned. And then we like to talk about Daniel, who was thrown into a lion's den. And I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life that I've felt like I'm in the middle of a lion's den. But the word says that while Daniel was in the lion's den, God came to him in the presence of an angel and stepped into the situation with him. And then in the New Testament, there was a woman caught in adultery. And Jesus stepped into the middle of her situation and worked a way out for her. There she was in trouble because of her own misbehavior. But Jesus stepped in anyway. And we look back at Psalm 51, David was in trouble because of his own misbehavior. And I think if all of us would admit it, most of the time when we get in trouble is because of our own misbehavior. Now, my tumor was not because of my sin, I don't think. But God has been speaking to me for years. My wife kept telling me, you need to go to the doctor. And in my wisdom, I didn't go. It's clear as day right now. I can remember one time looking into her eyes and she was saying, you need to go to the doctor. But I didn't go. But even after all that, I believe some might say that it's because of the skills of the doctors. And I had some good doctors in advance of modern medical practice that I am standing here today. But I gotta believe that it's because God still loves us enough that he steps in and works out our situations. Oh, that I can praise God on that. And then I thought about the fact that even after all Jesus went through and the way people rejected, the people, very people he came in to say rejected him, we read in Revelations that even though all that happened, he still stands at the door and the Bible says that he knocks. And if anyone will open the door and let him in, he will come in, and it says dine with him. But I think it goes farther than that. He'll come in and work on your mess and help you clean it up. There's a song that says, I gotta clean up what I messed up. But I just came by to tell you today that God will come in and help you clean up what you messed up. And I believe that as bad as things are, it seem to be in our world, in our country, that if we just trust in God and believe and turn to Him, He will come in and work it all out for us. I don't know what your situation is today, but I can tell you that if you trust in God, just like David was trusting in God to work his situation out, he knew that the only way that he could get rid of the load of guilt and shame that was on him is for God to come in and clean it up. He's still knocking at the door. He will come in and clean it up. God bless you. God loves you. And God cares for you.